Hey, welcome everyone. This is Using Rainmaker to Build Authority and Community Through Podcasting, a webinar which I believe is sixth in the series of the Rainmaker roadmap that Mr. Jared Morris put together. And we are rapidly closing in on the, we've got two more webinars and Q&As after this. This one's going to be particularly interesting because we are talking about one of the most powerful forms of media on the planet today, which is audio generally, but specifically podcasting. And even more specifically and important to you is how to do it with Rainmaker. I am joined by two of the greatest podcasters on earth, Jared Morris and John Naster. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me, for agreeing to spend this time with me today. I am very happy that you're here.
Hey, kidding. This is awesome. I love these the Rainmaker webinars, and I love talking about podcasting. So, and I love talking with Johnny.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Jared, I think you guys should know both of, everybody here should probably knows or has heard of both of you gentlemen, but Jared is VP of Marketing, Rainmaker Digital, and John Naster is the proprietor, owner, host, mastermind over at Hack the Entrepreneur. Johnny, how is Hack the Entrepreneur going these days? I forgot to ask you that earlier.
Earlier this week, I celebrated the 3-year anniversary. So that was pretty cool.
How many episodes is that?
368, I believe.
Man.
369. Wow. So congrats, man. From never having recorded an interview in my life to recording almost 400 in 3 years. Here we are.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, thanks for joining us on your anniversary week or the week after, I guess. Also joining us is Brian Hayes. He will be in the chat and he'll be joining us specifically for the live demo to correct any mistakes that I make. Jared will not make any mistakes. He never does. So thank you, Brian, for joining us. Okay, let's get this thing going. So the first couple of things we've got here, take a look quick to the agenda today. The why of podcasting, why producing a podcast sucks. I think anybody who's tried to do this will resonate with that that line. And then, of course, how to set up and grow your podcast with Rainmaker. And there's going to be a lot more going on within these big kind of three ideas, as you'll see. And then we'll have time for just a few questions at the end. And these will keep kind of really specific to podcasting strategy within Rainmaker. Not, you know, some of the bigger stuff we'll tackle outside of this webinar or maybe even for the Q&A next week. But we might have time for some questions at the end. And then, of course, as I mentioned, next Thursday, we'll be sending you an email so you don't have to write anything down. The Q&A following up for this webinar, and we'll remind you of that at the end of the deal today. So let's do this thing.
Let's do it.
So why, Jared, John, why should anybody in 2017 create a podcast?
You want the simple answer?
Yes.
I mean, the way I look at it is because I think it's the greatest way to create a connection with an audience, because you know, this is audio, and this is audio that is going to be right there in the ears of your target audience. You're going to be with people at intimate moments where they're not bringing anybody else, you know, when they're getting ready for work and when they're driving to work and when they're walking their dog and when they're doing all of these things, when they're trying to fill in, you know, gaps that they have in the day where they can be consuming content while they're doing other things. And you want to be there. And I think that ability to create that connection and really almost create that one-on-one connection with an audience. I've been creating content for a long time and have tried a lot of different ways, and I haven't found a better or more rewarding way to do it. And that was my, you know, that was my reason, you know, what, 2 years ago when we started the Showrunner and when we started talking about this and I started looking at it, and it's the same reason now. It's about, you know, content is about creating a connection, and I haven't found a better way to do it than with a podcast. Hmm.
Johnny, so 3 years, you said, right?
Yes.
Last week. I mean, I don't know. I guess the simple question is, are you glad you did it? That might be an obvious answer, but like looking back, has it been worth it, all that work and all that time and in those 3 years to doing your podcast, specifically Hack the Entrepreneur?
100%.
Why?
Absolute. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a ton of reasons. The reason why I started the show was I wanted to go from selling software and kind of being behind the scenes to being out there more, being able to speak and write and sort of build that audience, which I actually didn't even think about it as at the time necessarily. But I wanted to just interview 30 really smart people and that was my goal for the summer, was just to do that. And like at the time I lived in a city called Thunder Bay, up in Ontario, Canada, which has a population of 100,000 people, but is isolated by forest for like 1,000 kilometers on every point. And I did it from a basement office of a house in that place and reached millions of people at this point, which is amazing. It wasn't like I was held back by literally nothing except for my own fear of starting, which took me about a year to get over before I actually sort of took the leap.
You've been thinking about it for quite a while before you actually did it.
Yes. And then it took sort of getting my butt kicked by some smarter podcasters that I met on a trip. And then it took me about another 3 months to get my head around actually requesting a first interview from somebody and then trying to figure out how to interview people. And not even coming close to kind of realizing the scale and magnitude of what that even involves, but just wanting to do it. And I mean, I never could have. I mean, I wouldn't be here if I hadn't started a podcast. I wouldn't be doing anything I do throughout my day right now, or where I live, or how, like, everything I do is based around starting that show from that basement.
I wanted to ask both of you something that, you know, we kind of, I don't want to assume what anybody listening may or may not know about the history of podcasting and the explosion over the last, I mean, you know, decade, but certainly the last few years. That is well documented and well discussed. You know, the famous Serial moment, things like that. And for anybody who is interested, I mean, there's a lot, you guys have talked in the past a lot on the Showrunner about those moments and the whys and what's been happening. But you know, one interesting thing that keeps coming up is where all of this is going and the future of audio. And Jared, to your point, like the future of this particular form of content. I mean, there's really interesting arguments to be made that the future is literally audio. You look at things like Alexa Home and Google Home and whatever Apple's coming with next, the ability to be reached and through these smart devices, of which I will never have in my home, just, you know, for the record, but nonetheless,
they're listening to everything you do.
I know. Yeah. Right. Recording, listening, storing forever. But like the ability to call out, not just the home thing, but as one example, and to call up, you know, any piece of audio in recorded history, I would imagine at least at some point, like a search engine or an audiobook or whatever to purchase, you know, things like that really, I mean, while you're, again, to your point, Jared, moving along with your life and doing things from the weather report to, you know, an episode from, you know, 60 episodes ago of the Showrunner, whatever it may be that you're into. What do you guys think about this whole thing that audio could, like, really is the future?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think it's debatable anymore. I mean, I think speaking and listening is the future. So much more search is done by voice now, and so much more of our content consumption is done by listening. And that obviously doesn't mean that video doesn't have a part there. And I think a lot of really smart podcasters are including video in what we do. I know it's made a big impact for what we do at the Assembly Call, but it's still all about audio. And I think, you know, you look right now and there are kind of different forms of audio. You know, you've got podcasts and you've got radio shows and this, that, and the other. And I think, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I don't know how long, but it's all just going to be audio. It's just going to be stuff that we listen to. And there won't really be that big of a distinction between terrestrial radio and what you're doing on a podcast anymore. And I think preparing for that and taking advantage of that and positioning yourself, you know, to have an opportunity when that comes is really smart and really forward thinking. And I know some people think, oh man, you know, I didn't start a podcast 3 or 4 years ago, so I missed my opportunity. And I don't think so. I mean, yeah, obviously it'd be great if you had started that show 5 years ago, but look what's happened in the meantime. So many people now are aware of podcasts. So many people now have the ability to listen to them before where they wouldn't have previously. So you just kind of waited. A lot of people did the hard work of building the awareness and getting the word out there. And so, yeah, there may be more competition, but there's also so much more awareness now that if you're smart about the niche you pick and you create good content and you use the medium for what it should be used for, which is to create a connection and build an audience, then there's still plenty of space for you to get in and get your piece of it. So, I mean, I think the opportunity is there. I think the opportunity is growing, and I don't really see it slowing down, certainly in the near future and even in the long-term future.
Yeah, I would say, though, that, you know, like, looking forward to the future of podcasting, to me, it's kind of like you can also look back, right? I mean, it's, to me, it's just a replacement of radio, which has been huge for, I mean, since it was created and only gotten bigger until the point where we've started as people wanting to, we're very demanding. We want things when we want them on demand, which podcasting to me is completely just an extension where, I mean, most radio stations are now packaging things up, their broadcasts into podcasts because people might not be there listening at that time anymore. And so to me, it's not, there's no doubt in my head. It's not like, should I like focus on building a Periscope audience or should I really jump all the way into Snapchat? Something that has a huge likelihood of just not existing as a relevant source of audience building within 6 months or a year. To me, it's absolutely proven that podcasting is only going to get bigger the more and more people adopt the just the medium of it, but it's not the medium of audio. It's the medium of actually the way they're going to consume the radio shows or the shows that they want.
That, Johnny, is exactly what I was. Yeah. It's the point is your audio call upable? Is it living on the internet where it can be called up from Alexa or Google Home or whatever, Google Car or whatever's coming? Is it living on a server that you control in a way that you want it, you know, formatted and all of that, that it can be called up from, which in the final part of this, we'll get into obviously how to do that with Rainmaker. I could probably do like 7 hours of the webinar on this thing alone. Sorry, gentlemen, but let's, so I'm sure a couple of these next slides we've covered already. I kept these really simple. Yeah, we covered this in terms of why audio, obviously it's one of the most powerful forms of communication. Differentiation. You guys want to comment on this briefly, you know, in terms of audio versus other forms of, I mean, we did touch on bits and pieces there, but before we move on.
Yeah. I mean, I think basically, look, a lot of people are getting into audio and it's much more prevalent, but that doesn't mean that it's all good. I mean, there's still a big difference between a podcast and a well-done podcast and, you know, just an interview and a really well-done interview. And so I think, you know, it's not just about getting a show out there. It's getting a remarkable show out there that's going to get you attention, that's going to connect, and that's going to, you know, give you that opportunity to build a sustained relationship with the audience. And so, and there are many different elements of a well-done podcast. You know, you can have the greatest conversation, but if the audio quality isn't good, if the hosting isn't good, so the show can't be, you know, brought up reliably, then that's not a well-done podcast. And so, you know, and we'll get into this about, you know, why producing a podcast sucks, but there's a lot of different elements of a well-done podcast. And there's a lot of podcasts out there. There aren't a lot of well-done podcasts out there. And so if you can do that, it is going to differentiate you because there aren't that many out there. And especially with audio, again, I mean, this audio is in people's heads. They can notice, you know, bad audio, and people aren't going to have that much patience for it. So you've really got to, if you're going to do this, you really want to do it well, so that you maximize the investment that you're making in producing it.
And Johnny, would you agree or disagree that just the act of doing, producing, and publishing a podcast obviously has to be well done, as Jared just stated clearly. But just the act of doing it is a great differentiator between, I mean, you brought it up before, pouring everything you have into a social network that may be here today, gone tomorrow, or even a differentiation from text, which of course we love, you know, doing a text only blog or whatever that may be. Just the act of doing, publishing, and producing audio content alone is a differentiator.
Yeah. So if you are doing it to sort of bring your brand or business or company to a new audience, then absolutely, because there's probably most people in your audience aren't doing that yet. Right. So when I did it, I mean, I didn't even have a brand behind it. I just launched a podcast, but I still had to differentiate from what was there. I had to find a gap in the market and fill that gap with my show. That allowed me to differentiate from my competitors who weren't actually my competitors yet until I launched. But it's the same reason. And you're right. And we talk about this all the time on the Showrunner, is like using it to sort of take you above and beyond where your competition is sort of like floating in right there and going above it with creating a remarkable show. It's something that so many people are just wanting. So many people in your audience or in your customer base that just already are consuming audio and would just love it from you as well. If you could just provide that for them, it would be of the greatest service to them possible. So you're 1,000 steps ahead of where I was, because I didn't even have that audience waiting for me. I had to build that, which can also be done. But if you already had that audience, absolutely. I tell people daily that you should be starting a podcast. You still have to do it right. You still have to be remarkable. You still have to fit that gap. But absolutely, you should be, and it will differentiate you.
And let's also remember this, too. Your podcast content doesn't have to be radically differentiated from your other content. You can bring your same content that you have on your blog to a podcast. You know, I've noticed that now with the Sites podcast that I'm doing, where we're taking old classic copy blogger posts and turning them into audio episodes. And it requires a little bit of massaging and some quick rewrites here and there of the blog post just to make it work for audio, so that when it's read, it sounds better because there's subtle differences there. But I think a lot of people feel like, oh man, I've got to create totally different content. And you don't. If you've got a lot of content that works in a deep archive, but you've never done it via audio, there's an entire just group of people that may not have consumed your content because they like doing it through audio. Take what's already worked, take the best of what's worked, and turn it into audio. So, and that's such a big opportunity that I want to make sure people are aware of that works, so that you can consider it for your podcast.
Excellent point. I can't talk enough about repurposing and all that. Again, as anybody listening can tell, we could go for days on any one of these topics. But okay, so audio content, number three, why make a podcast? Audio content gives you the ability to reach an entirely new audience. Johnny touched on this, but yeah, this whole idea of, you know, copy blogger, rainmaker, very text copy driven, obviously. And we've talked about this in 100 different ways in 100 different places. But audio, you know, even in the context of this particular market or whatever your market might be, it opens you up to a whole new audience of listeners instead of readers, which is a different person. All right. And this is the best part. So we can basically just bitch and moan for like the next 10 minutes here. So this is going to be really obvious to a lot of folks, and particularly anybody who does a podcast. But why podcasting sucks? Here's the pain points. And Jared, I think we could probably like go through these pretty quick, you know. Yeah. And then just jump in. Either one of you jump in on no names, but, you know, stories, horror stories are fine or whatever, or just the reason why. Why does hosting suck? Why is it such a pain?
I mean, look. You know, we've all had hosting issues, I'm sure. Hosting specifically with a podcast is difficult because, you know, you have audio files. These audio files are typically, you know, anywhere from 40 to 50 to 60 megabyte files. So, you know, if you reach a certain threshold, you might have to pay more for storage. You know, if you have a successful show, say you put out an episode, you know, there may be 50 to 100, who knows, 1,000 calls to download that file. And you've got to make sure that it's there, whether someone's listening on your page or downloading from one of the many, many podcast directories are out there. That file needs to be there, because if someone tries to download it and you get that error message, which we've all probably tried to do, and we've downloaded a podcast file, you know, you're excited. You've read that title of the episode and now you hit it and nothing happens. It's like, well, I've got time to listen to a podcast right now. All right, let me move on to the next one. And, yep. You know, obviously I can't listen to this one. And that sucks because you just lost that opportunity when someone was excited to listen to your episode. And I always live in fear of that. I hate that. I used to live in fear of it anyway. Once you get reliable hosting, then you don't have to live in fear of that. And you know, anymore, there's really no excuse. And I don't blame any user who gets fed up and gets impatient when a website won't load or when a podcast episode won't download, because there's no excuse for it anymore. I think it's, you know, the ability to have good, reliable hosting is prevalent if you're willing to invest in it and go with the right provider. So this is very much an avoidable one, but it's one that if you don't pay attention to, it can really, really hurt the growth of your show.
At this point in history, that stuff has to download, be ready, appear, go, listen. I mean, people just don't care. They're, like you said, they're moving on. Next one. Let's see what we've got. Why else does this suck? The producing a podcast, Johnny. Why? Come on. It's not that difficult. Right? Or horrific. Or the daily, day in, day out, week in, week out grind of editing. And come on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you release 2 30-minute episodes of audio per week, I mean, that should only take, what, about an hour, maybe hour and 15 minutes total to do and produce? If only.
Yeah.
It's actually like staggering. And I don't even do like a story-based, like intensive show. It's to me, it's astounding that it could take, I think we've calculated it out to what an hour of audio, I think, takes about 15 hours to actually be published and done on my website like people hours. And that to me is like mind blowing. Even at this point, after like almost 400 episodes, I still like, how come this isn't easier? In 2017, like we start the conversation talking about like Amazon's products that can like listen to us and we can order things by voice. Yet for some reason, for me just to put up this podcast episode that's 32 minutes long takes us 15 hours of work.
There's a part of me that's kind of glad that it's difficult because it serves as a natural barrier to entry, you know, because it does require work. Like I'm almost getting nervous. You look at new services like Anchor, you know, that can seemingly make this process really, you know, a lot simpler. And it's like, but, you know, again, you're going to get a whole lot of bad quality there too.
Exactly.
And so there's a part of this that I'm, you know, as someone who enjoys producing podcasts, you know, and obviously loves teaching and inspiring other people to do it. You know, this is one of those where you want to be upfront about how difficult it is, but then also show, hey, that's part of why there's still an opportunity here, because not everybody's willing to put in the time here.
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, it could produce an hour of audio in like an hour and a half if we wanted, but it would be total garbage and nobody would listen. So there'd be no point to it. And I think that's what services like Anchor kind of, it's like live video, right? On Facebook, like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's just whatever. And it's kind of just, I don't know. To me, it's not a lasting sort of platform builder in that sense. I think it's a great sort of accessory to like your audience and going deeper with your existing audience that you've already built on well-produced audio, but to me, that's not a place to be just actually building the audience from scratch.
Where it lives, where your show lives. Yeah.
Yep.
One unforgettable stat, and I can't remember the exact number, but it's, I think it was more than what I'm about to quote, but it was Alex Blumberg he was talking in the first season of the show Startup. Somewhere in there or in some interview, he said that for every 20-hour episode or 20-minute, episode that they finished and publish comes from 30 hours of raw audio. That's so they're editing down 30 hours every week down to 20 minutes. I mean, I don't know what their actual production schedule is, but you get the idea. It's just insane. And that is a highly produced, obviously, you know, top of the line in a very specific format. I actually am a believer in kind of the more rough DIY interviewee, whatever. I like those too. I personally listen to those more, those kind of shows rather than the highly produced ones. But even those, they still have to be, you know, as you've stated earlier, those still have to be good. They have to be recorded well. They have to be edited well. So, yeah, production sucks. All right. All right, what about all these? And this is an internet thing in general. You got like 75 different services that you're either paying for or not paying for, and the passwords you got to manage, and you got to jump from this site to that site. You know, this is probably self-explanatory, but if either of you have a horror story.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like this for a lot of things, but you know, you start looking at podcasts and there's all these bells and whistles that you could add, you know, places that promise you different stats and, oh, I need to get this because this is the only way I can get into X directory over here. And, oh, this will, you know, do, you know, work wonders for social media when I publish my episode and I need this for that. I mean, there's tons of services and, you know, look, a lot of them probably do what they say and they might give you, you know, an extra 5% boost. But number one, are they going to be worth the cost in terms of money and in terms of your actual cost to manage it and get set up with it? And then just the you know, the mental and attention cost ongoing of logging in and checking it and doing all these different things. You know, ultimately, you don't need a whole lot of different services to host a good podcast. You got to put in the time and you got to, you know what you're doing to create a remarkable show. But I think you actually need fewer services than you think you do. At least that is what I found. You know, because every time I think something's great, you know, and I look at it, then I'm like, you know what? But I don't really need this. It's not really going to move the needle that much. And that's, you know, really what you want to look at is, you know, is this really going to move the needle for you? Is it going to be worth the time and the money? And for the most part, you know, that answer for me has been no.
I'm convinced that the management of all these different social networks and services and this and that and the other has taken about 5 to 7 years off my life. I don't know. Yeah. There's other things too, but anyway, all right.
This goes along with that one, the payments. Right.
That's similar. Mm. That stuff racks up, like, you know, the best description of this I heard, I think, John Roderick, who's a great podcaster, he was talking about the eels. It's not an eel. It's what are the things that attach onto the belly of a shark and like feed off of the shark's dead skin? And you know, those pictures, you get a shark swimming through and it's got like 50 different sucker fish.
Oh, yes. I don't remember the name of them, but yeah.
That's what all these payments are. They're just little sucker fish on your life. And it just, you know, it's like $3 here. It's no big deal, or $7 there, or $20 there, or this or that, but they just keep coming. And before you know it, you're covered in sucker fish and you bled out. But anyway, yep. Endless payments.
And you bled out.
Yes. And it's just so complicated, which is kind of the point of this whole section. So yeah.
Yep.
What is one,
but it doesn't need to be, complicated. That's the thing.
It does not.
You know?
Yeah. The act of doing the work itself is complicated enough. So yes. Therefore the technology and the ability to get it up online should not be. So,
yes.
All right, gents, here we go. Why podcast with Rainmaker? This is not a sales thing. Obviously we're talking to our people, but here's the short answer right there in front of us.
It's all included in there. And that was, look, when we first put out Rainmaker and I had the ability, you know, to test it out and look at it and I put the assembly call on it. I mean, it was like, it was wonderful because everything that you needed to do was there. You know, you didn't have to, you know, host a file elsewhere and then, you know, bring it in and do this to get your player and all this other stuff and, you know, have a specific plugin just so that you could get the right thing to go into iTunes. It was all just right there and easy to set up. Your analytics are right there. And when you've spent time, you know, using these different services and having places and or having things that you need to go check in 3 or 4 different places, when you can do it all in one place, you know, and you get, you know, some nice bells and whistles, like a really, you know, pretty player on the page and different things like that. It's just so nice and it simplifies things. And now instead of, you know, worrying about the technology or worrying about the hosting or all these other things, I can think about. I can spend more time thinking about, hey, what question can I ask my next guest to get a great answer? And those are the kinds of things when you're running a show that you really want to be thinking about, that you need the space to think about. And so for me, that's why I've always loved Rainmaker and why I've loved talking about it with folks, especially in relation to podcasts, because it has helped give me that space just in terms of time and peace of mind to be able to focus on the stuff that really matters with my show. You know, the technology stuff, it needs to work and it needs to get out of the way. And that's what Rainmaker has helped me do with the shows that I've hosted on it.
All right, Jared. So let's get into this use of Rainmaker to set up the podcast. And you were going to, I believe that's where we're going next. You're going to, I believe, switch over to a screen share.
Are we ready to do some demoing here?
Do a demo inside Rainmaker itself and take people through the process.
Yeah. Johnny, before we do that, do you have any quick thoughts on Rainmaker? Because I know, I mean, you've obviously used it too and used it with Hack the Entrepreneur before we hop in and kind of start showing the parts and pieces.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would just be like a slight extension of what you said. And then this idea of like all the different pieces and then how much time. So like when I say it takes 15 hours for a 30 minute thing, it's that's with like having like a production team of people that help me with the show. Even the idea that I only have to give people one access into the Rainmaker site rather than remembering like to get them into passwords to like eight different places, to me is such a benefit. And see, being able to like track, because you can see what everyone's working on and has done and what parts are, you don't have to log in everywhere and be like, well, is this at this part or is this at this part and this at this part? To me, that's it. It's like simplicity and kind of being able to keep control of knowing where you are in your production schedule.
Yeah. And I see a question here from Elizabeth. You know, she's just asking, what do you need, you know, in terms of equipment? You know, obviously, and we're going to show you here the parts and pieces inside of Rainmaker that you need. And you know, you need something like Rainmaker, obviously, where you can host your show, host a website, because you're going to want to have a site associated with it and a site that can give you an RSS feed that you can submit to the different directories. And I'll show you how Rainmaker allows you to do that. You know, then in terms of other equipment, what do you need? You know, Elizabeth lists here, camera, microphone, people. You know, you don't have to have a camera by any means. And if you do want to do video stuff, you know, I just use the camera that's on my MacBook Air. A lot of times that camera is good enough, but you need a microphone, you know, and you need a good enough microphone, you know, better than, you know, than just using the, you know, your headphone microphone. And, you know, you probably want to budget $80 to $120 for your microphone and get a good one so that you can get good quality audio. And from there, you need something to record with. If you're going to do interviews, then you probably want Skype and call recorder. That's what we've always found to be the easiest. I know everybody has problems with Skype, and I certainly do too. But it's still probably the best thing to record with right now because so many different people have it. And then you need a way to edit your audio and get it ready. And that might be people in terms of hiring an editor. Or if you can get in and learn a few pretty simple commands in GarageBand or Audacity, if you're on a PC, that's what you need. And that will help you get an audio file that you can then upload. And, you know, and then there are, you know, some other things beyond that as you grow into it. You know, but it's like I have a microphone set up now with a boom mic and a really nice mic and an H6 that everything goes through. But I, you know, and Johnny, you'll remember the episode that we recorded about this when it was a big deal because I kind of felt like I was rewarding myself, like I had graduated to this because I had put in the hard work of, you know, 350 episodes or something to kind of earn this. But that wasn't how I built my audiences. And I think that's one misconception is I think people feel like you need a lot more equipment than you do to get started. You need the basics. You need a good microphone. And I mean, that's mostly it. And then obviously a place to host your show like we're going to show you right now.
Yeah, and for real quick context on that, I mean, we launched the new Rainmaker podcast that launched the Rainmaker platform itself. All of that content was, you know, Brian and I had, I think, $120 microphones. I edited, we did it over Skype, which is free. I edited all of those podcast episodes on GarageBand free. And then I think that was it. So, and then, of course, uploaded to Rainmaker. But just as an example, I mean, we launched this entire product line with, you know, if you want to talk about raw cost, $120.
Yep. And Johnny, I'm sure, hasn't the exact same story. And a lot of podcasters do from when they started. And don't make the mistake of trying to make your early story more complicated than it needs to be, I think is the lesson here.
Yeah. And the editing part, like, the two, GarageBand and Audacity that Jared mentioned, are both completely free. They're included either with your Mac or Audacity. You can download for free if you're on the PC. And to me, if that's something like editing your audio, if that's really, really like daunting to you and overwhelming, then by all means, just ignore it. But if you feel comfortable at all with it, even without knowledge, prior knowledge, I would say jump into it yourself, because it does help kind of, it helps you form the show and sort of get the right format and feel for the show that you were really looking for. I did my first 30 episodes myself with no past experience with GarageBand, but just watching YouTube videos and figuring it out. And then once I got to 30 episodes, then since then I've had editors take care of everything else. But I think that it really, or I feel that it really helped me form the show that has, and then one of the reasons why it's become a success is because of that. Even though the actual audio quality of those first 30 is kind of bad because I didn't know how to make it sound good, but I knew how to make it sound good enough and then also like get the feel that I wanted from it.
Yep. And just to clarify, Donald asked, what recorder do you use on Skype? It's called a Call Recorder by Ecamm. And that's a program, I think it costs about $25. Well worth it. It makes it really easy. It gives you good recordings. You can do a lot with them. So that's the other investment to make if you're just getting started and you're going to use Skype, is Call Recorder by Ecamm.
Can we drop the link to showrunner.fm? Because there's the guide you can download right there that actually has Jared and I's exact setup with like links to Amazon. So you can see exactly what we use today. And I believe what Jared started with as well is in there. So it's at showrunner.fm. You can get the free guide, and that literally goes through this whole process.
Yep. Okay. So let me switch gears here and let me pull up a browser. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to walk you through some of the tools inside of Rainmaker for setting up a podcast. And I'm right back here in rainmaker.fm. We run rainmaker.fm on Rainmaker. And so I just want to show you, you know, how we have things set up and highlight a few of the most important settings that you're going to want. And Robert, Johnny, just, you know, chime in if there's, you know, something that you see that I skip over or something that you want to add, definitely chime in here. But the first place that you're going to want to go when you're setting up a podcast is the main podcast settings page. And so you get there by using your the settings gear icon, go to podcast and go right here. Okay. One important thing to remember here, because Rainmaker does allow you to set up a podcast network, all right? And so, and I'll show you the podcast network page here in just a second. Like on rainmaker.fm, for example, we run like 30 different shows, okay? So if you're going to have a setup like that and you're using Rainmaker for a podcast network, this is going to be your master feed. So every on this podcast description page, okay? Because as you see, as you scroll down here, this will give you a feed URL that will include every episode that you put out on the different shows. Okay. So you want to think about that as you're setting it up. Okay. That this will be your master feed, because I know it's an easy mistake to make where you set this up as like your first show. And then you want to go set up additional shows in the podcast network. Well, they will all come into this feed. So just, you know, try to map out ahead of time, you know, what you want to do from kind of an architecture standpoint, and put individual shows in that podcast network. And this is going to be the feed. But for most people who are only going to have one show, then all you would do is come in here. Okay. And really the fields are very self-explanatory. Okay. You have the title of your podcast right here. You're also going to have your podcast subtitle, and then you have your author. And one thing that is really helpful is to open up iTunes and look at how these are going to be displayed in iTunes, like where the title is, where the subtitle is, and where the author is, so that you can see how they will be read by a user who comes to that page and what people will see. And these are opportunities, obviously, where you can put, you know, keywords that you think people might search for your show, you know, your big macro keywords. You know, if you can include those in your title, in your subtitle, even in the author place, that, you know, those are fine places to do it. Just don't overdo it, okay, in these sections. And then you also want to choose a category. And so, you know, your category choice is going to be important, because this is where, when you submit your show to iTunes, where it will go. And you can choose a primary category, and then you can choose a couple of additional categories. And so you want to go, obviously, in the categories that are most relevant for your show, for that particular show, where you think it'll have the best chance of being found. So once again, I would go to iTunes and really do some research there and look and see, you know, shows like yours, where do they typically come up, so that you put yourself in the place where people are searching for shows like yours. Same thing. This is your description. So you're going to type in your description here.
Jared, this is quickly.
Yes. Yeah.
Can I just, so if this is a network, right? For Rainmaker?
Yes.
Because if you were doing an individual show, you would absolutely fill in those additional categories.
Yes, you would.
Because that absolutely puts you, you want sort of like, you're above main category, the business in this case, and then you would kind of do subcategories under that, because that all that does is allow you exposure to more people in iTunes.
Yep.
So I would absolutely not suggest, if you're doing your own show, then absolutely always fill in the additional categories, because it's just free exposure.
Yep. No question about it.
Cool.
So this is where you're going to put your image. And, you know, one of the important things that you want to consider when you're getting ready to launch your show is you want to have good show art. And we have, you know, an entire lesson about that in the Showrunner podcast and course. I think we even talk about it in that guide, Johnny, that you alluded to at showrunner.fm. And we could do an entire entire episode just on show art. But this is where you upload your show art. Okay. And it, at a minimum, it needs to be 1400 by 1400 pixels. So this isn't a place to put like a 250 pixel wide image. You want this to be, I mean, it has to be 1400 by 1400, but it can go up to 3000 by 3000 so that it, you know, looks good if it's on a TV. And so you want to make sure that you take advantage of that, put your show art here. And then you're just going to add some of your basic information, like the owner of your show, the email address. You know, this comes up on iTunes and other places where your feed is syndicated. The language, obviously, you want the copyright information. If your podcast is going to be explicit, you definitely want to put that there. I wouldn't try to get cute about that and not add explicit if it's going to be explicit. You don't want people listening to your show thinking it's not going to be explicit when it is, and vice versa. That is definitely something to be honest about. Plus, it can get you kicked out of directories if you don't do that well. And then you have some buttons down here for customizing the experience on the page. So you can actually add a download button. And let me, so this download button right here, that is coming up because we have this little checkbox right here. So that allows people to download the MP3. And then what you can do also is, once you have submitted your feed and you have now an iTunes URL, and so if you were to take that URL, that would take you to the main rainmaker.fm page. Well, if you add this here, then like on your show page, then people will be able to click the link right under the player to subscribe in iTunes. So it, you know, puts it very nicely. And you can also add a player footer. And I've used this spot before to, you know, add a link to the show on Stitcher or to my YouTube page, because it'll go right underneath the player. And then you are also given the share links that you need. And so you've got your feed URL. This, for instance, is what you would give to iTunes or to any other directory when you want to give them your show. And then you've got some other advanced settings down here for using the podcast archive template, for using series in your episode URL. And these are just, you know, allowing the player embed. So one of the really cool features about Rainmaker is that the player, and again, this is for Showrunner, the show that Johnny and I host, and it's on Rainmaker. It's part of the Rainmaker.fm network. But one of the really cool things about this player is, if you click on share, you can actually get the iframe to embed. So if you want to put it inside of another blog post, or, you know, someone else likes your show and they want to share it on their own website, it makes it really easy for people to do that. And then obviously, you know, spread your show and get listeners in other places. And so you have some different options here that you can use. Okay. And so then if you click on manage a podcast network, which we'll do right here, this will take you and show you a directory of all your different shows. And so if you want to add a new series, you would just come here and you would type in new series name, whatever the name is, give it a slug, you know, maybe it's a new series, and then just click add new podcast series, and it will populate over here. And you can see all the many shows that we have at rainmaker.fm, and they all have a specific entry. And so if we click on one of those, and I'll click on the showrunner, so this will open up the podcast series information for the showrunner. And you will notice that it is very similar to the settings page that we just saw for the master feed. Okay, so this, you know, same. You got your name, you've got your slug, you've got your, you know, your description right here. You can choose if you want to add a sidebar to it. So you've got some different settings there, just based on, you know, how you want it to look, how you want your episode page to look. And then you've got all your settings, individual for this show, different from obviously the main feed and different from all of the other shows. So you can add your subtitle and your author and your categories, just as we showed before. You've got your description, you've got your show art. So everything there is the same, including you have the ability, obviously, to change, you know, the archive headline, the archive text, and then, you know, even get down to the specific SEO settings for that specific show. So once again, if you're only going to have one show, then you would just use this master page here and you would never have to think about the podcast network page. But if you're going to have multiple shows, this is how you would add new shows, and you would manage the individual shows the same way that you would do on the master feed. Any other points, guys, that you wanted to point out just about the basic show setup, both for a master feed and for a network?
Yeah, we can talk in more detail about the specifics of this next week in the Q&A. But Nicholas asked, how do we get the iTunes feed URLs? And that is more of a taking your Rainmaker RSS feed, your podcast RSS feed, and submitting that to Apple Podcasts and to Stitcher and to Google Play, which is a process. Again, we'll get those instructions. You can Google those right now, but we can get those instructions for the Q&A next week. But where, Jared, do we get the, I know you went over it. If you could go back just briefly to show again the Rainmaker feed URL, so people can submit that.
Yep. So again, this is back on the master page. So you can get your feed URL here. All right. And so if you just have one show, this is the only URL that you would need. If you're going to have a podcast network, and so you're going to be submitting multiple shows, then you would go to the individual series page. And I believe that gives you, does it give it to you on this page? Yes, it gives it to you right here. So this is then the URL that you would submit to iTunes, to Stitcher, to Google Play, to all those different locations. It would be this URL right here for the individual series.
Perfect.
Okay. So let me show you a couple different things now. One is a really nifty, helpful tool. Robert, I remember when we started Rainmaker.fm, you were insistent. I believe you might have threatened to quit if you didn't get this on Rainmaker.fm, and that was the editorial calendar. because, I mean, you know, look, the editorial calendar feature of Rainmaker is really, really helpful. It's one of those things, like, it's really simple, but man, when you don't have it, you really feel it. And frankly, I actually, for when I'm going in and managing my shows at Rainmaker.fm, I don't have Rainmaker.fm bookmarked or the admin page. I have the editorial calendar page bookmarked, and I go directly here. Because you know, this is where I want to go. And so, you know, this shows, you know, all the shows that we put out on this particular week, I can move forward and I can go to, you know, obviously weeks that haven't been published yet. And you'll be able to see, you know, kind of what's coming in the future, what shows we have coming. And it's just, it's so helpful because then you can go into it and you can edit it. You can view the show, you know, you can add a new post right here. You know, so if you know that you're going to have a new show coming out on the 8th, you know, you can, you know, just get it started, you know, new episode X, you can put in some basic content or all the content right here, put a time, and this allows you to kind of see it, and you can take things and you, you know, if it's not published yet, you know, then you can drag it back to, you know, to another day really easily. And as anybody knows, who's, you know, putting out a lot of content, you know, it can be, you know, kind of a drag to try and do that without a feature like this. So this is really, really helpful for doing that. And it's, you know, podcast episodes, blog posts, all that different content comes in here together, which is really helpful. So the next thing that you need to know then is how to actually post an individual episode. So if you want to post a new episode from any page, you know, using your blue, your helpful blue Rainmaker toolbar here, you can go to add new and then podcast episode. Or obviously, if you want to edit a podcast episode, you can go to edit and get all of your podcast episodes. Or what I do is just come straight here to the editorial calendar. And for instance, if I wanted to edit next week's showrunner, I would just come here and click edit. And that would take me right here to the edit page where I can edit next week's episode. And so I have an example here to show you of the last episode that we published, which was episode number 104 of the showrunner. And as you can see, it is very similar to the post edit page or to any content editing page, you know, that you would use, that you would be familiar with. You know, if you're familiar with a WordPress environment, and certainly if you're familiar with Rainmaker, then this is going to look very familiar to you. And I do a lot of my editing using the text editor. And so, you know, we have a couple of short codes that we use here for the showrunner, but it's very basic. You know, we have our introduction, you know, we have our basic show notes describing what the episode is about. This was a Q&A episode, so we list the question right here. And then, you know, when we're ready for the player, we just add the episode short code. I believe also the player short code works as well. And that's what then ends up creating this really nice, slick episode page right here. And it looks nice. And, you know, the player is right here. It's very easy to play it, as I mentioned earlier, to download the MP3, to subscribe via iTunes. And then you can also add a call to action here. And so we have, you know, an embedded form here so that when people come, they can get our newsletter. And I think it's extremely helpful if you're running a podcast that you have something for people to subscribe to kind of take that next step with you. And then you format your show notes. And this is just, you know, like any other blog post that you now have. And this is where your episode lives. And you can share this on social media. Some people will come here and listen, but the vast majority of people are going to listen, you know, via their, you know, podcatcher, their podcast directory of choice. So you're not necessarily counting on people coming here to listen. But for those who do and who do come via social media, you're giving them a nice, clean, responsive, you know, experience that looks really good on a mobile device, that plays really well on a mobile device. So you're covering your bases. And that's really important, especially when it comes to audio. As you know, there's almost as many different ways people want to consume this as there are people who will listen. And so you need to be able to cater to the people who listen on your page as much as the people, you know, who listen there via iTunes. And that's one of my favorite parts about Rainmaker, is it makes that really, really easy to do. And so you do that all right here from your podcast episode page. Kind of the heavy lifting for the episode stuff is done right here with this special widget for episode details. And so say that you want to have a different title on the actual page than what actually comes up in iTunes. We don't for the showrunner, but for example, on the assembly call, I do this because I want my episode title in iTunes to be much simpler. Because, you know, I've noticed that in a lot of podcast directories, you know, they may only show like 35, 40 characters in the title. So I want to get right to the point, whereas, you know, I might do a little bit more with my title on the page. And so you can actually change the title here and do a separate title. You can decide if you want to manually place your player or if you just want to show it automatically before or after the content. And then you just upload your audio file right here as well. So it's very easy. You don't have to go to another site and upload it and then copy that URL here. You can paste it right here. If you are, you know, already using another podcast host, then it certainly integrates with Rainmaker because you would just paste the URL here. So the beauty of Rainmaker is it allows you to kind of save that money and save that hassle of using an external podcast host. But if you have one that you really like and you want to keep using it, then you can paste that URL right here. Either way is going to work. And then, of course, you can mark an episode explicit. Or, you know, if you just want to have an episode that only goes out on your blog, maybe it's an announcement episode or something like that, and you want it to go out, but you don't necessarily want it to be in iTunes, then you can block it from appearing in iTunes by clicking that button right there. And then otherwise, it's the same stuff that you've been used to. You know, you can add your SEO information for the individual page and everything else looks just like a regular post. And then you just want to make sure that you obviously choose the right show that it goes to. So you don't want an episode of The Showrunner going to Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer. So just make sure that you choose the correct one and then edit it as you need to. Edit your slug so that it is descriptive and you're all set. And that's, it's actually much simpler even to just go through and do than it is even to kind of explain and tell you about here in this demo. But those are all the different parts and pieces and they work together seamlessly to create a really good podcast experience for you.
Well, I think this is, thanks for this, Jared. This is great, by the way. It's one of these things where it's, a lot of this is going to be familiar to those using Rainmaker for text stuff. A lot of it, there's just some, you know, added, of course, some added elements in the setup, but the day-to-day of creating shows, aside from just a few elements, is really similar to, you know, just general blogging. I wanted to answer before we move on.
Well, and I have one more thing too, Robert, that I wanted to show, which is the podcast reports, because that's the other element that's in here that I didn't mention. And so if you go to results, you'll obviously be familiar with some of these other reports that you get, but you also get podcast reports. And so you can come in here and there's a number of different reports that you can get. So you can look at a series summary. You can look at individual episode detail, a download summary, and then go into, and then you can choose the date range. So you've got all these preset options, just look at today, look at yesterday, look at this week, or you can go custom, and look back from the beginning of time, from when you started, if you want to, and then select the individual series as well. And then you click view report and it will bring up the report. And again, you can look and you can drill down on a per episode basis and see the number of downloads, see the number of on-page plays, a lot of different detail and granularity that you can get to here with the podcast reports as well. And that's kind of the other missing piece from the rest is obviously you want to put the podcast episodes out there, but then you want to know who's listening and where they're listening. And it'll tell you how far, for on-page plays, for example, it'll tell you how far into it people are actually listening. And that's, really interesting information. And I'll tell you one thing I used to do with the assembly call, I mentioned that on-page plays are a small fraction of the overall listens. But once you have a decent number of listens overall, I used to get 50 to 60 listens on page for the assembly call. And so it would tell me how far into it people were listening. Maybe it was a 50 minute episode. And on average, people were listening, to like the 30 minute mark. That was a pretty good approximation for what people were probably listening to overall. How far into the individual episodes they were getting. And so that information can be really helpful as you're trying to see, how far are people listening? Maybe where am I losing people? And so obviously you're going to want to track this as you go, and Rainmaker's podcast reports, put it all right here for you and give you the really important top line summary information and then granular episode information that you need to judge how you're doing and make good decisions based on that information.
So before we move on, let's just go, because we are running out. We're at an hour here. I want to make sure a couple of these questions got answered before the Q&A. Jared, thank you. That was a great demo. You basically covered everything in a pretty short period of time here. So thank you for that.
Good. I've been inside Rainmaker hosting a lot of shows, so I'm glad I
Yeah.
it should go well.
I want everybody listening to know too that we're going to get to a couple of questions here. Again, we're up on the hour, but the Q&A next week is, we'll make sure to get through all of those then. And I do want to kind of open it up, if you guys are okay, Johnny and Jared, about some of the more kind of, podcastery questions of like, how do you grow the show and how do you what's your experience with XYZ in podcasting, or there's the technical side, but there's also the kind of the art side of it as well. And the business side of it as well. We had some questions about ROI of doing a podcast. Brian Hayes, if you're still there, Richard had a question and I won't put you on the spot here. We'll come back to this, but if I'm podcasting via a live Rainmaker site, can I test that? I assume Richard, you're asking, can I test the podcast before taking it live? So let's look into that before we'll come back to that. But John, you asked what the theme is used for Rainmaker.fm. That is a custom theme that's custom designed from Rafal to Mall. So the design that Jared was showing, and then I see your question right after that, we cannot get this to look like what Jared is showing. That is true. On the back end, it's going to be, exactly the same, but the front end, the design of the actual website is a custom design, which of course anybody can do. That is not a one of the out of the box templates, but those can be worked with designers worked up from those out of the box templates that you have available to you.
And the basic page setup that I showed, is all normal Rainmaker stuff, like that kind of stylized player up at the very top, that was custom. But as once you scroll down and the basic Rainmaker player, and then, you do have the ability to add, different sidebars to different shows. And so you can actually do a lot of basic customization, just using the native Rainmaker features more, I think, than what is often immediately apparent. Especially when you start getting into some of those custom sidebars.
Chris asks, just so I understand, so on one site, I can have several episodes. Am I thinking about this correctly? Yes, and I'm assuming you mean, Chris, a so-called podcast network, so a number of different shows on one Rainmaker site. That is true.
Yeah, you can have several episodes, and but more importantly, several shows.
Right.
So that, you know, that's kind of the distinction. You can obviously have as many episodes as you want, you know, but you can also have individual shows. So you could have five different shows with as many different episodes as you want. Yep. And that's really the important part. That's what the podcast network makes possible.
Yep.
Mark, so
John? Yeah, please.
An interesting way that I used that with Hack the Entrepreneur was, again, to kind of go back to repurposing of content, was I put out, once I hit, I think it was about 150 episodes, I put out a top 10 based on the previous show, and I created a separate complete show, new artwork, new feed, because that allowed me to put it back into iTunes, but it allowed me to use the podcast network feature. Although it wasn't, quote unquote, a network per se, it was, I could do multiple show, like versions or feeds of my same show, and I didn't have to get like a developer involved. I don't even know how that would happen, creating a network, but without sort of the Rainmaker features built in. So it doesn't have to necessarily be like Rainmaker.fm style, whole bunch of different hosts. You can actually release different feeds of your own show and different sort of repurposed adaptations of it.
Yep.
Mark, a recording of this will be available. We will email that to you when that page is up and the recording, you know, give us a week or so, maybe a few days, depending on how things are going around here. Okay, let's do this. Because I said we would, Richard's question. Brian Hayes, do you have an answer for Richard's question? If not, no big deal. We can look into that and get back to it next week on the Q&A in terms of testing a podcast before taking it live. And if Brian's not there, that's fine too.
Oh, I'm here. You can test the Rainmaker podcasting tools, but I don't know if I'd recommend submitting it to iTunes.
Right.
Until the site is live and you have your live URL in place, and then submitting it to iTunes should be fine.
Yep.
We do have some guidance in the knowledge base about checking your feed prior to submitting it to iTunes. And you can always contact us in support for specific help.
Right on. Thank you, Brian. Okay, so gentlemen, let's leave that there for today. And again, thank you, Jared Morris, Johnny Naster, everybody listening, Brian Hayes, I really appreciate it. And Kelton Reed, who nobody knew was here the whole time, who's kind of running this whole, you know, technology show for us. Thank you, Kelton. Jared, I think there's one more slide for everybody to see about the Q&A.
There is.
So we're going to come back, Jared, Johnny, myself, Brian Hayes, Amelia Briscoe, this coming Thursday, a week from today, September 14th at 10 a.m. Pacific for our Q&A. You will get an email on that, so don't worry about trying to remember that. One thing I will note, though, is in that email will be a link to a page where you can submit your questions for this Q&A. So like we said before, if Jared and Johnny, if you guys are up for it, maybe we could expand depending on what questions come in, but we can expand into some other topics outside of the kind of technical nature as well, yep, and have some fun with that. So,
absolutely. Yep. And by the way, there's a question in here from Don about interviewing. And he says, is there something that you would recommend to learn that effectively? Don, we are actual, the next episode of The Showrunner that is coming out, it'll be episode number 105, dives into this. And we have a lot of shows in the archive too. But submit this question because Johnny has some of the best advice that you'll ever hear about interviewing. And so we'll definitely be happy to get into that.
How dare you promote The Showrunner on this webinar, Jared?
What, showrunner.fm, you mean?
You know what? This is getting ridiculous. Hey, gentlemen, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody listening. Really appreciate you being here. This recording will be available. You will get an email. And remember, in that email, click the link to submit your questions for next week's Q&A, Thursday, September 14th at 10 a.m. Pacific. Jared and Johnny will be back to answer your questions about podcasting and podcasting with Rainmaker. Thanks, everybody. Really appreciate it. Catch you later.
Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it. Take care.